I wonder if you ever took the time to sit down and ask yourself, why did I ever start lying? Did you cheat any in school? Have you ever asked yourself why you do a great number of things you do that you know are wrong? You know they're contrary to the character of Christ, contrary to the Word of God, and yet you did them. Why did you start doing that? I dare say that your mother never brought you in and said, well, now, son or daughter, today I'm going to teach you how to lie. And after we've got that down, then we'll try to teach you how to shoplift without getting caught. We'll try to teach you how to steal hubcaps, you know, that sort of thing. I dare say that not many of you had parents who did it. Maybe a few. But I dare say that not many of you had those kind of parents. Well, did you ever wonder why no one had to teach you to lie? Did you ever wonder about that? Did you ever wonder why lying just came naturally to you? Well, I can explain it to you. Now, you won't like something of what you're going to hear, but it's truth. This teaching is taken from our Florida Bible Institute, Level 1, Lesson 3. It's entitled, The Fault of a Man, or Did You Ever Wonder Why No One Had to Teach You to Lie? You see, the Word of God tells us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What we're finding out here is that God created everything that has been created. He didn't have anything to create out of, so he had to create that which he was going to use to create. And then he created man. He created man in his original condition. And in his original condition, man had a sinless nature. Man in his original created condition had a sinless nature in which there was no natural inclination to sin whatever. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we read about the creation of man after God had created the universe, created everything on planet Earth. He had everything ready, and now he's going to come to his prized creation, mankind. In Genesis 1:26, God said, Let us, that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit, speaking among themselves, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Then in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, the Word of God says, So God created man in his own image. Did you get that? God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Have to understand this about the creation of man. God created man much like himself, but without the fullness of himself. Created man much like himself, but without the fullness of himself. He gave man the ability to think, reason, think inductively, think deductively. He made man much like himself, but without the fullness of himself. You see, even as he created a universe, which was perfection. There was not a flaw anywhere in the universe. So man, in his original created state, was flawless. And God left him with free will. God created man, much like himself, and left man with free will. He would not make a robot out of man. He would not force man to identify with him, even though he was the creator. He would not force man to obey him, even though he was the creator of man. So, when you look at this, you say, well, man was created with free will, sinless, perfect, without a flaw. How did lying and deception become a part of his vocabulary? How? You see, lying itself is often found in the very early stages of childhood. Any parent knows that. Did you do that? No. Are you doing it? No. Every parent knows that. So lying itself is found in the very early stages of childhood. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? What about cheating in the affairs of life? You see, that was not in man's original makeup. It was not in the original makeup of man in his created state to cheat in the affairs of life. And here again, for some, cheating begins very early in life, perhaps in school, doesn't it? Did you ever cheat in school? First, second, third, fourth, eighth grade, 12th grade, ever? Something else, you see, there was no profanity in his vocabulary. Man in his sinless, created state, in the image of God, did not have any profanity in his vocabulary. Being perfect, just created, his eyes, his eyes had never witnessed anything evil. Now think about what I'm saying. What have you witnessed? What have your eyes seen? What have your ears heard? He had never seen anything wicked or unclean. He had never heard anything wicked or unclean. There was no pornography anywhere in the universe. There was no pornography anywhere in the universe. You see, those things did not exist in his environment. Now we, in our day, are daily exposed to profanity and wickedness and filth, not only in movies, if you go to movies, television, and even in the commercials in television. And all of this wicked, ungodly activity, speech, whatever, has gained acceptance in the lives of the nations of the world. Why? Why? You see, in the original creation of man, there was no bondage to alcoholism. Alcoholism was not a problem. Drug addiction. And, you know, so many people hate to admit that they are in bondage. You came out of the womb in bondage, my friend, because you came out of the womb with a sin nature. And a sin nature embraces anything and everything that is antithetical to God. A sin nature will embrace anything and everything that is opposed to God and His Word. So there was no such thing as alcoholism. There was no bondage of alcoholism in the universe. Mankind was not in bondage to drug addiction. There was no such thing as nicotine addiction. There was no sexual addictions. And that is an addiction. There, you can have an addiction to sexual activity. You see, all of this is prevalent in the world today, along with a host of other expressions of sin and wickedness of every kind you can describe. And there was nothing. Think about this now. There was nothing in man in his original created condition that would cause him to curse the very God who created him. And we hear it done every day. We hear it done every day. There was nothing in his makeup that would cause him to kill his neighbor or kill a stranger or steal from a friend. There was nothing in his nature that would cause him to abuse his wife or his child. We know from the book of Genesis that God would come to the Garden of Eden and would visit with his created being, man. They had fellowship together. God would visit Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We know that from the Word of God. They had fellowship together. And man in his original created condition, before the fall of man, enjoyed full, complete, unbroken fellowship with God. They were in perfect, perfect harmony. What happened? What ruined the whole thing? Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed from upon all men, for all have sinned." Now bear in mind, God created man with free will. God created man with free will. And man, by a deliberate act of his free will, destroyed both his own perfection and the perfection of the universe through disobedience to the word of God, through disobedience to God, through sin. Now, we realize when we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, this describes the environment that God created for Adam and Eve. It was an absolutely perfect environment for man, lacking nothing. It lacked absolutely nothing, contained everything they could desire or need. Everything was there. There was nothing in the original environment itself that could or would entice man to sin. Nothing. Nothing. Man himself, created in the image of God, with a sinless nature, with no natural inclination to sin, and yet possessing free will. However, having created man with free will, there had to be a point of reference around which man could choose to obey or disobey God, otherwise he would not have free will. Did you hear that? Now listen to me. I'm talking to you. God, having created man with free will, he had to give man a point of reference around which he could choose to exercise his free will, either in obedience to God or disobedience to God. Otherwise, he would have no free will. So in all that beautiful garden, and in the middle of that universe, if you will, in that garden, God placed one object. In the Garden of Eden, God placed one object around which Adam and Eve could choose to obey God or disobey God. One object around which they could choose to obey or disobey God. That one point of reference, if you will, that one object was a tree. It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, God speaking told them that everything is yours. Everything in this garden is yours. You can have it all. It is all yours. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. One prohibition in all of that beauty, in all of that garden, in all of their needs and desires, everything just absolutely perfect. In all of that, there was only one prohibition, only one thing they were not supposed to partake of, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Like I said, there had to be a point of reference around which they could choose to obey God or disobey God. Now, Adam and Eve had only one point of reference around which they could choose to obey or disobey God. But you and I, how many do we have every day? How many points of reference do we have every day around which we have to decide, am I going to obey God, yes or no? Am I going to accept that thought from the enemy? Am I going to react the way I want to react? Or am I going to react the way the Father would have me react? Am I going to believe God, yes or no? Am I going to respond in an ungodly manner? As I said, Adam and Eve only had one point, only one point of reference around which they could choose to obey or disobey God. You and I, every day of our life, we face several hundred points of reference some days around which we must choose to obey or disobey God. You see, before God brought Adam and Eve into the picture, God had created everything he was going to create. He had created the heavens. He created angels. And there was an angel among the angels, whom we know as Lucifer, who was, if you will, the chief angel of all the angels. He had free will. God created the angelic force with free will. Did you know that? Yes. He created the angelic force with free will. And this one angel, Lucifer, who was kind of the chief of the angels, if you will, putting it that way, he got to looking at everything around him, and he wanted God's position. Now, the Word of God tells us, and I don't have time to go into all that right now, but I can show it to you. We know there was a conspiracy in heaven among the angels. And Lucifer got some other angels, about a third, if we understand, of the angels in heaven, to agree with him to try to overthrow God and take God's position, because Satan always wanted control. Lucifer, as an unfallen angel, wanted control. Once he rebelled against God and was thrown out of heaven and into hell, or down into the other regions, if you will, along with those angels that went along with him, these, ever since that time, he has always been seeking for control. So God creates a universe, Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, and who shows up in that garden? Satan. He's depicted as a serpent, if you will. He's referred to in Scripture, that old serpent. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, Satan said to the woman, "You will not surely die. God's a liar. God's withholding something good from you. God's a liar. You're not going to die. And God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, God knows the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you should be as gods, knowing good and evil." She's listening to the devil. She is listening to the serpent, if you will, Satan, seeding her mind to doubt the goodness of God, to doubt the word of God. He is seeding her mind with disobedience. Her first mistake was listening to Satan. Her second mistake was looking at what he was pointing out to her. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Look at verse 7 of Genesis 3. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you you're naked? Adam, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, The woman that you gave me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat it." There you have the fall of man. You see, they weren't going to drop dead right then, but they lost their sinless nature. This is so hard for some people to understand. With that act of disobedience, with that act of willful disobedience against the known will and word of God, the penalty for their disobedience was they lost their sinless nature. They lost their sinless nature. And they received a sin nature. Now, before they sinned, God would visit them. We don't know in what form he visited them. We know throughout the scriptures that he revealed himself many different ways and many different times. To Moses, he revealed himself in a burning bush. On the mount, he revealed himself in thunder and lightning and the voice from heaven. We know that he had, and from time to time, he took on a pre-incarnate human experience and appearance. We know that. But for some reason, God would appear as he chose to, and we're not to question that. That's between God. That's up to God. But you see, now that they have sinned against God, they lost their sinless nature, they received a sin nature, they have a broken relationship with God, their creator, and they died spiritually, and now death has set in on the human race. God said you're going to die. He didn't say you're going to drop dead the moment you eat it. He just said, the minute you disobey me, death comes into the picture. You see, man was not designed to die. Man was designed to have fellowship with God. Man was designed to have fellowship with God and communion with God. God looked forward to that fellowship and that communion, and he made everything that man needed available to him and only gave him one point of reference. You can have everything in the garden, just don't eat of that one tree, because I have to give you a point of reference around which you can choose to obey me or disobey me. And they chose to disobey. For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, their disobedience opened the door. Are you listening to me, people of God? Their disobedience opened the door to sickness, disease, death, and all the ravages of sin into the human race. Legal ground was given to Satan. He was waiting for the door to be opened, and he could not open that door himself. He had to have the cooperation of that created being, man. He had to have his cooperation in order to gain access to the human race. And he got it when they rebelled against God. When man sinned, death became a reality in two ways. Now, this is where you come into the picture. Watch this carefully. Man died spiritually. Man died spiritually in that he lost his sinless nature. And he became subject to physical death as well. He became subject to sickness, disease, demonization, if you will. Man died spiritually because he lost his sinless nature. That, my friend, is why no one had to teach you to lie. No one had to teach you to cheat or to steal. No one had to teach you to do all manner of ungodly, unholy things. Why did you do it? Because you came out of the womb of your mother with a sin nature. And a sin nature is going to practice sin. It is going to practice sin. So because of the sin of Adam and Eve, all of mankind, all of us, me, you, all of us, the Pope, preachers, pastors, even Billy Graham, Charles Spurgeon, greatest Bible scholars and preachers that ever lived, they came out of their mother's womb with a sin nature. And because we came out of the womb with a sin nature, we came out subject to sin, sickness, disease, and death. That's why nobody had to teach you to steal, to lie, to cheat. That's why nobody had to teach you any number of things that you got involved in that are ungodly and unholy, because it came natural to you, because you came into the world with a sin nature. And there was only one exception in all the human race, in all of mankind, in all the universe. There was only one exception. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. He had no sin. He could look at the people who hated him the strongest, the religious leadership of the day, and he could say, which of you can point out one sin in my life? You see, if Jesus had had one sin, he would not have qualified to go to the cross as the substitute for me, as your substitute. If Jesus had sin, he would not have qualified as the Son of God, as the Lamb of God, to be that sinless, willing blood sacrifice on the cross. So much man it is as though he were not God, and yet so much God it is as though he were not man. He was the God-man, if you will. He became his own sacrifice for sin. Jesus, God in the flesh, Colossians 2:9, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus, God in the flesh, became his own sacrifice for sin so that we sinners, those of us born with a sin nature, could have an opportunity of being reconciled to holy God and receiving a new nature through the new birth, which the Bible calls being born again. That, my friend, is how you receive a new nature. You become born again. You believe Jesus Christ. You receive Jesus Christ. And you receive Christ into your heart by faith. You cannot earn it. All the religious activity in the world will not make you right with God. All the church attendance, mass attendance, no matter how much you attend, no matter what you're involved in, no matter how much religious activity, will not get it done. No, it takes a new nature, because we lost. We lost the sinless nature through Adam and Eve, and we came out of the womb with a sin nature capable of every imaginable sin you can think of. And it's only the grace of God that kept us, some of us, from going any further than we did. In their disobedience, they lost their fellowship with God, and then they tried to hide from him. Back to Genesis 3:8 again. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. As I said earlier, God did not create a robot. He wanted men that would worship him and love him, commune with him, and fellowship him as an act of their will. He wanted that from man. He gave him choices. He gave man choices. He gave him the right to exercise his free will, even independent from his creator. God gave him that choice. God gave him that right. God gave him a free will independent from his creator. And one way we know that to be true is the presence of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. Had there not been a point of reference around which man could choose to obey God or disobey God, he would have been nothing more than a breathing, living robot kind of thing. But no, God wanted mankind to want to worship him, to want to fellowship with him. Let me say this to you. I told the Lord this morning, I said, Father, your flock has got a lot of bruised, battered, beat-up sheep in it. A lot of battered, bruised, beat-up sheep. And I'm talking to people in this classroom. I'm talking to people in this electronic classroom right now. Some of you are trying so hard to be right with God. You want that communion. You want that fellowship. You want that intimacy. You want to know that when you approach the valley of the shadow of death, that you're right with God. But so many of you have been deceived. Hear me carefully now. I'm not recommending that you become a Baptist, nor a Presbyterian, nor a Assemblies of God, nor Catholic, nor anything. I am suggesting this. I'm not suggesting. I'm telling you. Jesus said, if you want that fellowship with him, if you want that relationship with him, if you want that intimacy with him, if you want that communion with him, and if you want to make sure that when you die, you go to heaven, you must be born again. You must be born again. John 3:7. Nicodemus, that leader among the religious people, came to Jesus. Oh, he was so religious. Never missed a service. So busy in the activities of religion. But he knew deep down in his wicked, sinful heart, he was not ready to meet God. He was not ready to go out into time and eternity. And he came to Jesus seeking, what must I do? He said, I know you're from God. You couldn't do what you do if you're not from God. Jesus knew where he was going. Jesus knew he was, oh, so religious. Oh, he was so religious. He was eaten up with religious activity. And Jesus just cut across the chase. Said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, I realize you're a religious man. I realize that you're in the Sanhedrin, you're a Pharisee. I realize that. I realize you're involved in all kinds of religious activity, but Nicodemus, you got a sin nature. You have a sin nature, Nicodemus. You are of your father, the devil. And because you are of your father, the devil, the works of your father you will do until you're born again. See, what he said to those Pharisees and those religious leaders in their day, he can say to us today, until we are born again, we are a child of the devil. We are a citizen of the kingdom of darkness. And until we are born again, we are a child of the devil, and we will do the works of the devil as he prompts us to do them. That is why so many are in bondage to so much today. Now, let me say this to you. You come to Christ, you get saved, become born again, you have a new nature now. That new nature is implanted in you by the Spirit of God the moment you are born again. But now it's got to be developed. When you came to this world out of your mother's womb, you had to learn how to walk. You had to learn how to speak. You had to learn how to function. The same thing is true in the spirit realm. When you're born again, you've got to learn to walk. You've got to learn how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to learn how to walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to learn how to talk to him. You've got to find out how to let him talk to you. You've got to get into his word and let him speak to you. And you've got to spend quiet hours before him from time to time just allowing the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you. It all comes with being born again. Once you realize that in Genesis 3, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, that verse reveals that in the original creation of both creation and man, there was no sin whatsoever. Word of God says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And the Bible clearly teaches that the fall of man, which brought about a sin nature, was clearly a result of man's decision to willfully disobey God. And now I'm going to hurt some feelings. I'm going to hurt some feelings. I do it unapologetically. So many of you are involved in religious activity. I don't care whether you call yourself a Baptist or a Catholic. I don't care whether you call yourself a charismatic or non-charismatic. So many of you are so involved in religious activity. You see, you think that by being involved in religious activity, you're causing God to smile on you. He's not smiling on you because you're involved in religious activity. Because you're still a child of the devil till you're born again. Satan has hundreds and thousands of individuals involved in religious activity in every expression of religious activity that you can name. And some of those expressions of religious activity have perverted the Word of God. They've distorted the Word of God. They've misrepresented the Word of God. And some of them have taught people. Now, if you would just have your child christened and submitted to God, and if you would just offer your child to God and let us sprinkle some water on them, that will take care of the original sin. That's a lie out of hell. Hear me. That is a lie out of hell. The Word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. You must understand that you can die in your religious activity, die in every expression of religious activity, die after having been sprinkled and christened and baptized, and wake up in hell, separated from God, and in hell for an eternity with never, because the Catholic Church has lied, there is no purgatory. They cannot show it to me in the Bible. They can write their own Bible and insert it, but they cannot find it in the authorized version. It is not there, I know, because I'm a biblicist. I love you. And I don't want you to go out into eternity without God. I don't want you to go out into eternity without Christ. I don't want you to go out into eternity thinking that you're right with God because you met some man's standard. The Pope himself and every preacher, every pastor who's never been born again will die and go to hell themselves. Folks, this is serious. It's life and death. It's life and death. The Bible clearly teaches that the fall of man, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, they lost their sinless nature. They opened up the door to sin, sickness, death, disease. That one sin brought about a sin nature. Why? Because it was a result of man's decision to knowingly, willfully disobey God. What do you think the cross of Jesus Christ is all about? Really? What do you think the cross of Jesus Christ is all about? Why do you think Christ went to a cross? Why do you think God became flesh? Why do you think God took upon himself the form of a man in his Son, Jesus Christ, and came to this earth and went to a cross? Why? If holy water, if being christened, if being baptized, if being involved in religious activity could make you right with God, why the cross? Why the cross? No, there had to be a sinless, willing blood sacrifice. Nothing else would suffice. So far we've discovered that we have born with a sin nature. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none righteous. The Pope is not righteous. I am not righteous. In and of ourselves, none of us are righteous. The only righteousness we have is that righteousness which comes to us in our identification with Jesus Christ when we're born again. Then, once we are born again, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not in the denomination. Not in the religious activity. In Christ Jesus. Romans 3:10 again. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That means there are none who are in and of themselves righteous. None. Not a one. Not a single one. You cannot name one single individual that in and of themselves are righteous. That means, are they in righteous and right standing with God? No. None of us were, none of us are, until we come to Christ who were born again. Word of God says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Preacher. Bob. Mary. The mother of Jesus? You mean she sinned? Well, of course she sinned. That's what the Word of God says. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no, Mary is not in heaven at this time. She's waiting for the resurrection and the rapture just like the rest of them. You've been lied to. A lot of you have been lied to. Truth is in the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Get yourself a Bible, a real Bible. Not one is produced by some denomination or some religious expression, but get into the authorized version in whatever version you want to get into, but read it for yourself. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of mankind has sinned. All of mankind has sinned and failed to live up to or meet God's standards in and of themselves. The Word of God says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the end result of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The end result of all who live a life of sin and who die in that state, never having been born again, unrepentant, without ever having been born again, is death, both spiritually and physically. You see, when man sinned, he lost his sinless nature. When man sinned, he opened the door to sickness, disease, and death. So those who die in that state, having never been born again, die both spiritually, finally, and physically, finally. But for the one who recognizes their sinful condition, for the one who believes God's free gift of salvation, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not your religious expression, not your religious activity. Jesus, and Jesus alone, can save your soul. For those who recognize their sinful condition, for those who recognize God's free gift of salvation, and for those who are willing to trust in and believe the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the promise of eternal life. Now you know why no one had to teach you to lie, or cheat, or steal. Now you know how you ended up in bondage. Name your own bondage. Sensual, sexual, alcohol, drugs, whatever it may be. Name your own bondage. Now you know how all of that found its way into mankind. Did you ever wonder why nobody had to teach you to lie? Now you know. The question is, how are you going to respond to the truth you've heard? Father God, take the teaching, I pray, and in some way impress upon the hearts and the minds of those who need it how desperately they need Christ Jesus. Help them to better understand why they are the way they are, and it's all because of coming out of the womb with a sin nature. And that the only remedy for that is to receive a new nature in and through Jesus Christ when one is born again. And Father, if you'll do that, we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.